Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Jamie Star Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. So my guest was on the national tour of the Broadway musical, Cats. My guest today is Taryn Smithson.
Okay, cool.
What was your, like, intro to Cats? Did you see, like, the old movie, or did you see it on Broadway or a tour?
It's funny because so many of the cast was, like, massive fans of the original, the movie. And actually, the Misto came to see our show the other day in Philly, which was so cool. We all get to talk with them after the show. We were like, oh, my God. Like, literally, Cats legend. But my story is a bit different. I actually, so I grew up doing, like, dance competitions and conventions. And I had learned the audition combo to Cats when I was, like, maybe 12 or 13 at a like dance competition convention.
Wow.
And I didn't really know much about it other than the fact, other than the fact that it was like really dancey and it was about cats and I didn't know much else about it. But then I saw it in 2017, the revival in New York. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what is this? I'm obsessed with this. And that was like, so I got into it a lot later. I wasn't one of those kids that like grew up with the movie. I wish I was. I grew up with like the Mamma Mia's
yes.
And the Les Mis movies, like those, the newer, like movie musicals.
Oh, same.
Hairspray and
Yeah. From when I was looking at your Instagram, I think we're the same age. So
yeah,
I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was my generation of the movie musicals that I grew up with. But I still, you know, obviously, like, I have such appreciation for it now. And I wish I would have known about it when I was younger because I think I would have just loved it. And it's such a spectacle for kids to see. We had a, like, 8-month-old come in the audience. Like, literally second row, like, this baby child in the audience. And I was like, well, like, they stayed quiet the whole time. They didn't, like, do anything. They were just, like, in awe. And, like, you could see
wow.
them just, like, taking in, like, the lights and everything going on. And I was, like, honestly, I feel like this show is, like, kind of good for
they didn't, the
stimulation.
They didn't think that old Deuteronomy was going to pick him up and crush him?
No. I know. Our old Deuteronomy, though, is such a teddy bear and such a, like, you know, I think they probably, yeah, they probably enjoyed it, but it just was funny. They had no idea what was going on, obviously. But.
Yeah, that's hilarious, seeing an 8-month-old as you're, like, going around green-eyeing people in the crowd. Like, why is it?
Well, so we actually can't go in the audience because after COVID, or during COVID, when they had remounted the tour, they cut off.
That sucks! I love that part!
It was a little heart-wrenching, and we were like, can we, like, find a way to, like, bring it back for these last few, like, months on tour? And I don't know if we'll be able to do it because it would take, like, some rehearsal process, I guess, rehearsal time. But, like, we all want to go back in the audience so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the Korean tour does it. And we're all like, oh, we should do it.
Yeah.
So, it's actually fun. We're friends with a lot of the Korean cats.
That's cool.
So the Korean tour.
Yeah.
Like, actors and stuff. And it's just cool to, like, know people from across the world that are bringing the show. It's just so cool. It's a community of cats.
Yeah. When did you, like, discover that, would you say when you learned that dance combo, like you knew you wanted to be in Cats at some point in your life?
I think so. And well, it's funny because I always thought Cats was never a show I would do, which is so strange because it's funny how you kind of perceive yourself different than sometimes you are. And I was always a dancer, like dancer first, as they say, which I don't like to use, but I grew up dancing first, and that's what got me into theater and acting and singing and all of those things. So I don't know. I just thought I was not, like, enough of a dancer to do Cats
mm-hmm.
because I did the theater thing as well. But now I see it. I'm like, oh, it's the most perfect thing to start out doing in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Being young enough to do the Jellicle Ball.
Yeah.
technique, you know, and something that's so special too is, like, every cat is so different. And I think I saw, like, the Victoria and Cassandra, like, cats, and, like,
mm-hmm.
they're very leggy and dancery. And I was like, I'm not that. Like, I'm too short to do mm-hmm. any of that. Like, that would never be me. But Rumpelteazer is, like, the perfect mix of singing, acting, dancing, all the things that I grew up doing and loving. And so
it was
perfect choice. So,
was there something that surprised you about learning the Rumpelteazer track in the show?
Yes and yes. Just as I was saying, it's such a mix of all three parts of musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I really knew that until we were doing it fully. And I was like, oh, like, this is about stamina. This is because the show is very athletic, and there's, I mean, every cat kind of has their own track and they dance and sing. And so I think I knew I was going to sing. I knew I was going to dance, but I didn't realize I was going to be running across the stage the entire time.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because when they did the tour, they cut some cats out.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of Rumpelteazer is like a teenager in this version. So I do a lot of what the adults do, but I do some of what the kittens do. So I kind of run around and bounce in between different spots on stage and different groups of cats on mm-hmm. stage. And I just didn't know that was my, I didn't know that was going to be my thing, but I love it. I couldn't have asked for a better, better track and a better, yeah. I'd be bored. I always say I'd be bored on stage if I was just standing there, you know?
Yeah.
Or if might as well help me run.
Yeah, for sure. What was it like learning the makeup?
Oh my gosh. That was the part that when we did rehearsals in Modesto, California, and that was the part of the rehearsal process I was so nervous for. Not learning the stuff, not doing any of it. It was the makeup. I was like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna do this? Because I love like a little nice, natural, little regular makeup beat. But this is...
this is no joke.
This is a thing in itself. And I remember it took me over an hour when I was learning because I was so meticulous and I was so afraid of like the line not being straight.
Right.
Like, wrong. And I wanted to do it right and perfect, and I wanted to get it exactly as it should have looked. But our lovely makeup supervisor, Victoria Tinsman, she did one side of the face when she was teaching us, and then we would like replicate on the other side.
Uh-huh.
So smart, and like it helped a lot with like getting to the angles and what things seem to do. And now it takes me 20 minutes and it's so quick and easy.
Yeah.
And I love, and it's actually a calming part of my process and getting ready. I'm like, okay, I get to sit there and like listen to music or listen to a podcast and just like do my thing and get ready and get in the zone. It helps me get in the zone.
Yeah.
It takes a second to get done. So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is your costume surprisingly comfortable? Because it's a bodysuit and it's kind of lightweight. So is it surprisingly comfortable compared to costumes you've worn in other shows in the past?
Honestly, yes. This is such a good question because it is comfortable. It stretches with you and it moves with you. The only part that can get uncomfortable is the arm warmers and leg warmers can make you a little hot. And if the theater's already hot already, then it's kind of like a little... But then I get to take the arm warmers and leg warmers off in the middle of the show to do the Mungo Rump. We get extra little things. They come up in the... connect to our top, and that's where my pearls are on, and that's for the feature, which I love. I love that I get to change into that, especially if it's like a hot day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's honestly really comfortable.
Yeah.
And like, it also like really accentuates everyone's like features. And I always think it makes all of us like look really, really good.
Yeah.
Everyone says it makes the Mungo and Rump's butts look good. I won't comment on that, but they always say that it makes our butts look good, so I'll take it.
Compared to, like, other, like, classic musical in their costumes, like, mm-hmm. I feel like Cats definitely is one of has probably some of the more comfortable costumes compared to, like, Wicked, for example, where, like, the Glinda bubble dress is 40 pounds and the Elphaba... Act 2 dress is 30 pounds. Like, this, now you're just in, like, a little bodysuit that weighs, what, 2 pounds, if that?
Right. It's nothing. And there's really light accessories, which is nice. I did head over heels in college, and we had all this, like, Victorian era.
Oh,
kind
yeah.
Or not Victorian, but, like, Shakespeare style.
Yeah.
Ruffles and everything, and it was a lot of accessories, and it felt like, oh, my God, how am I going to dance with all this stuff on? So it's nice to have just, like, simple... that like I have my collar, I have my arm warmers, my leg warmers, my tail, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's nice to just have that be our base, and
great. Is this one of the most like heavier dance shows you've really ever done musical theater wise?
Absolutely. I mean, I've done a lot of dance heavy shows. Like in college, we did Head Over Heels and things like that, and that they're all I enjoy doing really athletic. Movement like heavy shows, that's just what I love. I love telling stories to my body, but this is its own genre of like dance in theater. It's so much moving, and we don't stop for 2.5 hours. So it's just, and some people, you know, I think so also my track that I just don't stop. Like usually you have a chance to go to the bathroom and like have a break of water, but that's during my feature. That's when most people go to get it. I'm still dancing and on stage. I don't leave. I literally do not have any chance during the first act to go to the bathroom or do anything. So I'm literally on stage, and when I'm not on stage, I'm in a quick change or I'm moving around to the other side of the stage. So it's fun and I love it, but it is very intense that way, that it is like a marathon of every night. And so that's also a part of it too, of being like getting the nutrition you need and the rest you need to be able to do that. And sometimes twice a day, which is so I like to rest as much as I can and sleep in between shows and get all the things I need. But that's been the tricky part, is figuring out what I need to do before the show.
Yeah. What's the part of the show that makes you feel the most like an actual cat?
Ooh. Oh, that's such a good question. I love in Act Two. It's actually when we sit still, which is funny, because we move so much and we're doing all this movement that is like cat inspired and like move it to look like cats. But when we sit still and we listen to Gus and Gus the theater cat, and I just noticed like my paw, like we've been going to so many cat cafes too everywhere we go, and it's fun to just like research and like watch them. And I love how we like, some of us will like cross our paws and like you lay in nicely, and it's like, and sometimes when I'm sitting there I'm like, oh my god, like just the way like your intention is going, the way we're like focusing on him, it's just, there's so much like subtlety, and that is where I think, that's what I think a cat is really, really like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that simplicity and just the kind of preening of themselves, and like, you know, they just listen, and they like are there two steps ahead of you too, always, which I just love.
Oh yeah. Would you rather play Grizabella or Bumbleorina for one night only?
Oh my goodness.
Or Victoria.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's so hard. I mean, Grizz is only on stage for like 15 minutes in total. If you like actually like break it down.
It's like a princess track, literally.
It is, which would be nice to have the like night to, you know, just go on stage and sing and then like do my thing. But I also love Bomb's track in terms of like doing the McCavity number and wearing the red. I would love to like try on the red costume. Oh, it's just so pretty. So maybe Bomb. I think I would say Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
What did you think? Be honest. I want you to be as honest as possible.
Okay.
The Cats movie, the new one.
Yes.
Flop?
So, we get this question a lot. And there's just nothing like seeing it in live, in person.
Yep.
There's nothing like it. It's the form that it was built in, and it was the form that it's supposed to always be viewed in.
Yeah.
So I prefer the stage version, just in general, of Cats.
Oh, I agree 100%.
That's my take on that.
Especially because in the Cats movie, there's dialogue, so...
Right, which is different. Like, we don't have any of that.
Right.
It's just song after song after song after song. So, yeah, I haven't actually seen the movie in its entirety, so I can't really comment on it in its entirety, but yeah.
I watched it during COVID, and I realized, and then I heard them talking, and then I'm just like, this is so confused. Weird. It's like weird seeing a movie, like watching a movie. Based on a musical that really doesn't have any dialogue, that doesn't have dialogue in it.
It's based on poems,
really. Right, right.
And the greatest thing, the greatest gift we had during the rehearsal process was talking with Chrissy Cartwright, who worked on it in London, and like when it was being
when like Andrew Lloyd Webber was like creating.
Amazing, yeah. And she told us things that Trevor Nunn said, and like gave us so much knowledge. She just was a gift and a wealth of knowledge to us. But she was like talking about how it was created, and like it's supposed to be, you know, very intimate in a very intimate theater setting where we make the audience feel uncomfortable. And this is the cat space. And
yeah.
It shouldn't, you know, it doesn't belong to the humans, and how we can do that. And those kind of things is really only understood in person, because it gets you that connection and that energy from the audience and from us too, the cast. So
yeah.
There's just nothing like that, that connection and relationship, and that is just hard to build on film. So I think that missed out on the like magic of it.
Yeah, it was a bit overly CGI'd. And
I think the dancers were incredible.
Yeah, the dancers were great, but
incredible.
It's just there's nothing like seeing cats on stage.
Nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. You can't compare it to the movie or movies of it, because you really have to sit and see it for yourself. It was actually the last show I saw before COVID, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I've seen multiple shows since theater's been back, but it was the last show that I saw before COVID, and it was the first time I ever saw Cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy, and I was confused for a majority of it because I didn't really know what to expect, and it was my first time. I didn't do research.
Yeah, and sometimes I think that's the best way to go into it, is to go into it blind and be like, okay, what am I gonna like take from this? And then there's so much like lore and like fan fiction too that's like built on it after that, which is crazy.
You're asking so many questions to yourself and to other fans and to cast members. You're like, okay, what it like, you just want to know so much more information that like maybe not even the cast members know the answer to those questions, because fans get so deep dived into it that it's
so detailed.
That you're like, I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And oftentimes we look at what people say and we like use it, or we think about it, we talk about it. The Wrong Cat Died podcast is also like another one that we did. In DC, he like came to see the show and gave us like things to try on stage, like theories that people had given.
That's cool.
And it was just so cool and like crazy. And it's just such a world. It's become like a multiverse, as I like to say.
Of
music and movies and musicals, and now it's like this whole story, and there's so much underneath it too that like you can go into detail of, about relationships and who's related to who and who is their mom and who's
right. Dad.
Like,
right.
It's just crazy. And some of us, like, we use some of that, like Mungo Jerry, for example, who a lot of people think that we're siblings, but that is a misconception. We are actually, like, I have a crush on Mungo Jerry, which would be weird if we were siblings, so that does not make sense. So
yeah.
We have, like, a little crush on each other, but there's some fan fiction and lore and, like, talk that Jenny Antidotes is Mungo's mom.
Oh.
So we actually play with that in the show. There's, like, a few moments where Jenny comes up to us and she's, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, keeps us, like, in line, and it just makes so much sense. We're like, oh, that worked. Like, we have this connection on stage, and yeah, it's cool. We play with that a lot.
Have you always wanted to, like, go on tour and, like, be part of a touring company of a show at some point in your career?
Absolutely. My goodness. I mean, I've always wanted to be on stage. I always say my story is I saw Mary Poppins at a young age, and I was in New York, and I saw little Jane Banks run on stage, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, she looks like me. Like, she had curly brown hair.
Uh-huh.
She was young. She was the same age as me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could do that. Like, I could totally do that. And I was dancing and singing and doing all those things at home anyways. I was like, I want to do that. Like, let me on stage. That was like, I just got the bug that way. And then I saw a lot of tours come through at the Kennedy Center. Cause I live outside of DC, like the Kennedy Center, the National Theater and all those things. And I was like, I would love to tour. I think it's just so fun. And there's also much more, tours that go out and around and it than like in New York, it gets kind of fixed, and like there's a certain amount of shows in the season, and that's
right. There's so many additional shows that go out on tour, whether it's equity or non-equity. There's so many different. Right. You have such a variety with tour.
Yeah, it's such an ebb and flow, and it's a lot of shows that were on in the city, and then you know now we're not there anymore. So it's nice to be able to do those shows and still bring them to people that didn't get to see them.
Yeah.
Especially Cats. I mean, Cats has been around forever, but a lot of people didn't see the revival version where it's Andy Blankenbuehler's choreo. mm-hmm. and it's a little bit different in terms of like vibe and intention than the original.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just cool to like give that to people, and people I think are often a little shocked too. They're like, oh, they're like, I saw this years ago, but this is not like, this is different. This yeah. is, this is cool.
Yeah, so. I've always wanted to go to the Kennedy Center. And like just it's to beautiful. Check it out.
It's a dream. It's a dream theater. I remember, and that's a huge reason I wanted to tour too. I was like, I want to perform here. Like I want to perform there. Mm-hmm. It's massive. It's glorious. It's just beautiful. It's glam and theater and all the things that you ever could want from like a theater like that.
Do you watch the Kennedy Center Honors every year?
I do.
Me too.
And if I don't, I catch the like clips of it. But I love the, the Barbara Cook video of like Anna Kendrick, and I watched that YouTube video probably 1,000 times.
That's like me watching Cyndi Lauper tribute Cher at the Kennedy Center Honors, or Thomas Rhett singing with Elmo.
Oh wait, what?
Yeah,
I need to see that one.
Oh, it will. Cynthia Erivo sitting in the audience and she's bawling. They're singing like sing a song, sing out loud from Sesame Street.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And and Cynthia Erivo is bawling, and then Big Bird's in the audience like in his little tuxedo, and he goes, I'm looking for a guy named thanks, where are you, thanks? And it's Tom Hanks.
Oh my god.
And he keeps calling him thanks.
I need to see this.
I will send it to you. You
please
will
send me this now.
Die. It is, yeah,
oh
my god.
I'm obsessed with that. I need to see that.
And then Carrie Underwood's like tearing up.
No, kind of love.
And then you hear Elmo at the end go look up at the creators of Sesame Street and go, we love you. It's the cutest thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I can't help with that. I was a big Elmo fan too. That was big. I would dance to the Wiggles and to Elmo when I was like 3 years old.
Oh, me too.
I love that so much.
I know.
I have to see that video. You need to send that to me.
Oh, I will be sending it to
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
And Cedric the Entertainer's in it, and Lisa Ling is in it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they all have little, because Carol, it was when Carol Shelley died, like right after Carol Shelley died, so they all have little Big Bird, like feathers on their costumes, on their outfits.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow.
To commemorate them.
Okay, I need to see that.
So how do you like to make time go by, like when you're traveling from city to city? Like, if you're on a bus or on a plane, like, what do you like to do?
Good question. There's a few things. I love to, well, I've been reading a lot, which is crazy. I was never, like, a big reader before the pandemic, but then when everything was happening and going crazy and the world was, like, falling into pieces, I started reading, and I loved it. So I started picking that up again, and I'm on my fourth book of 2023,
wow.
which is, like, the most that I've read.
Wow.
Which is crazy and so cool. So I read a lot. I go through pictures a lot too, because we take so many pictures and like videos of everything that goes on
and just acting goofy.
Yeah, and it's just fun to like go through and see what we've done and kind of like compile them together and send them out and stuff. And I listen to music. I like to listen to music a lot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the things that happen. And TikTok, of course.
Of course.
Is an addiction. I have an addiction.
Have you forgotten where you are yet, like when you're on tour?
Yes, many a time. Or I'll wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, what city are we in right now?
Have you asked Siri, hey Siri, where am I?
I look at the weather app because it automatically updates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I get to see the weather too. It's a double
whammy.
Yeah, exactly. that's hard too, is traveling and not knowing what the weather is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last year someone did this, and then for this new tour, this new cast, because some of us were new this year, and she was in the tour last year, she compiled like a list of like the weather and like the general weather
like
of
that.
The season. And I was like, that's so nice and helpful. So,
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like to do during intermission?
Oh my goodness, I have to chill. That's my only time I get to like chill. I go to the bathroom, I sit and chill. I usually go to physical therapy too, and like roll on a ball or like the foam rollers, because mm-hmm. she has so many gadgets for us. Yeah, we have like these compression boots, we have Theraguns, we have all the things. So I usually go and use one of those too if I can, depending on how far away the office is from where the stage is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I try to keep in like keep close by to the stage. I don't usually go all the way back to my dressing room, but yeah, I'll usually just chill and stretch and try to roll something out.
It's like pee, roll out, drink.
Yeah, have a snack. I usually have a snack because that's, depending on the time of day, it's hard for me to like eat too much for the show, but then not eat and like, I don't want to not eat enough to be like fueled for the show. So I usually have like a protein bar or like an energy bar too in between, just to get my sugar and everything up and get me through the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about in between shows? What do you like to do? Do you take all your makeup off and then redo it?
I do. I keep my wig prep on, but usually a lot of times two people come to the stage door that I like know or I want to see, and we're not allowed to go out and makeup or anything. So I have to get it off like all the way. Although I always have yellow and orange on my neck. It's always a joke.
Yeah. I'm, it's like Elphaba with the green.
What?
It's like Elphaba with the green.
That's what I say. I say that all the time. I'm like, it's just like the Elphaba green. Like it's a badge of honor. Like, you know, it's always just there.
If you have a little crook or cranny, it's okay, right? Like,
yeah,
they don't,
yeah.
They're not too hard on you like that. Like, oh, you have a little yellow crease right here.
I always have like eyeliner and yellow and black. Cause the gel eyeliner that we have, like, it takes forever to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like coconut oil and hydro oil that we use to get it all off.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, like my skin never had like a horrible reaction to the makeup. I had really bad to the wig glue. So I had to get different wig glue, which is crazy, but I just like to wash it off anyways, cause I was just so sweaty and gross and it's usually melted off.
Yeah. But yeah, with sweat and yeah,
I would need to redo it anyways. So I just take it off. And then I usually take a nap. But I always say, I like to pretend like it's a new day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That helps. It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's the first time I'm doing the show today.
Yeah.
so that usually helps, too.
And
taking a nap.
What is a fun fact that not a lot of people know about you?
Oh. Let's think. I always say I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Same.
And I don't know if people know that, because I keep it low key, but I don't keep it low key because I touched her hand once at her concert. And that is my fun fact, is that I touched her hand at the, this is the Speak Now concert. And we like, me and my best friend Logan, we like went over to the side because we had seen that there was like a stage in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, if we like go around this way, maybe she'll like come, and she did, and so we like, oh my god, and she came and she squeezed my hand and I'll never forget it.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's my fun fact, is that Taylor Swift squeezed my hand.
I love it.
Once again, I've been speaking with Taryn Smithson from the national tour of the Broadway musical Cats. I will see you all on my next episode, where I'm chatting with Larkin Riley from the Broadway company of Bad Cinderella.